Welcome to AUSA's Army Matters podcast. This is Family Voices, and I'm Thea Green, AUSA Family Readiness Program Manager. It is my honor to have as our guest today, Ms. Dee Dyke. She's the Director of Soldier Family Readiness Directorate and the Quality of Life Task Force for Headquarters Department of the Army G9. Ms. Dyke has over 25 years working in the soldier and family support. She has oversight of programs that support spouse employment, family advocacy, financial literacy, child care, fitness centers, recreation, libraries, just to name a few. In addition, in 2019, she added the Quality of Life Task Force to her responsibilities and leads the Army effort to synchronize and strengthen the full range of care, support, and enrichment programs across the Army. Ms. Geist is an Army wife of a retired soldier, and she's also an Army mom. Welcome to the Army Matters podcast, Ms. Geist.
Thank you for having me, Thea. I am delighted to be here. Please just call me Dee.
Well, it's always my pleasure to talk with you, Dee. Today's topic is on Army quality of life. But before we dive in, can you provide a little of your background to our listeners?
Sure. Like many of your listeners, I've spent my adult life in some way connected to supporting Army families and improving quality of life. From being an Army spouse, I was a volunteer for Family Readiness Group at the Department of the Army Civilian, working at the installation level to where I am now, managing Army policy and resources from inside the Pentagon. And maybe my proudest role as an Army mom to a National Guard soldier who's currently on active duty and returning from his third deployment. I continue to have a vested interest in the outcomes of our total Army, active guard, and reserve. Army life comes with so many exciting and wonderful opportunities and experiences, but I am so intimately familiar with the challenges Army families face. With this, it is a great honor to represent and advocate for soldiers and their families. I want to make sure their voice is heard at the highest level.
Thank you, Dee. I think as an Army, we are very lucky to have someone with your background fighting for the soldiers and families. Now, let's dive into our topic. I think we've all heard or used the term quality of life, but can you talk a little bit about how the Army looks at quality of life and why it's important to the Army?
Yes, this is a really great question, Thea. Quality of life is a multidimensional, multi-domain concept that looks at standards of health, comfort and happiness, and by individuals or groups. Everyone has a standard quality of life, but it is different for everyone and it changes over time. I think you might agree if I say your measure of quality of life at 20 is much different than it is today. It's not necessarily better or worse, it's just different. A young couple may measure their quality of life by their social network. A few years later, they may find more value and measure their quality of life by their job, their health, quality of their children's childcare or school. So broadly speaking, domains such as health, housing, employment, schools, and neighborhoods are important to quality of life, but so are the aspects of spirituality, relationships, and one's personal values and beliefs. So it's a very complex subject. When General McConville took over as the 40th Chief of Staff of the Army in 2019, he asked us to look across a full range of care, support, and enrichment programs that contribute to quality of life in the Army. The initial focus was on housing and barracks, healthcare, childcare, spouse employment, and PCS moves, but has already expanded to other areas, and we expect additional efforts to be added as we move forward. Quality of life is important because it directly impacts the Army's number one priority, its people. It also drives three important Army strategic outcomes, recruitment, retention, and readiness. The programs that support quality of life increase the health and well-being of soldiers and families. It reduces absenteeism, disengagement, isolation, and other negative factors. They also engender trust between the Army and its soldiers and families.
You're right. My concept of quality of life is much different today, and I see why the Army has made this a priority. Can you talk a little more about what the Army is doing to improve the quality of life?
Absolutely. General McConville and the Secretary of the Army authorized the creation of a quality of life task force. That task force developed a campaign in coordination with many Army agencies and command organizations This plan has 6 lines of effort, which includes housing, healthcare, childcare, spouse employment, PCS, and support and resilience efforts to improve quality of life at our remote and austere locations. In March 2020, the Secretary of the Army signed the Quality of Life Force Charter, and it's been roughly a year since our formal beginning, and we're proud of the many significant wins already accomplished benefiting soldiers and families. The task force is truly a large team made up of smaller teams of subject matter experts who work tirelessly to make quality of life improvements happen. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank all of them for their outstanding work.
Thank you, Dee, and thank you to the task force. It's always impressive to hear about how organizational change is accomplished, especially in an organization as large as geographically dispersed as the Army. Now, you mentioned that the task force has had some wins. Can you talk about some of the accomplishments from this year?
Sure, there are many, but I will highlight a few in each line of effort. There's significant accomplishments, and we'll talk about where you can find more about those in the website. But with regard to housing, we've increased investments in privatized housing and hired 114 additional government personnel to provide quality assurance oversight for family housing. We're also committed to improving single soldier barracks and have a strategy to invest hundreds of millions of dollars in barracks for the active, guard, and reserve. With regard to healthcare, we expanded virtual health and telemedicine for primary, specialty, and preventive care. On the childcare front, in order to improve access, we are building 9 new child development centers by 2026. 3 of those are funded in fiscal year 21, 2 in Hawaii and 1 in Alaska. Employment, we are reimbursing up to $1,000 in qualified occupation license costs for Army spouses, including exams and registration fees. To date, we have reimbursed over $109,000 to our Army spouses. With regard to PCS, the Army has a new interactive app called Army PCS Move with information on entitlements and move types, and you can use it to plan and schedule your move and file claims. Right now, this has over 13,000 downloads. And finally, the Army also hired 350 additional household goods quality insurance inspectors, which at last count included 50 family members. There is plan to hire 50 more QA inspectors this year. Their job is to ensure that the contracted moving companies comply with DOD and Army standards. Those are just a few, as I mentioned, but I encourage the listeners to visit the Army Quality of Life website at www.army.mil/quality-of-life. There you'll find a more comprehensive list.
That's very impressive, Dee, and I'm sure the listeners will be happy with all of those improvements. Earlier, you described how quality of life might look a little different at different stages of life. Can you talk a little bit about how you are addressing this?
Oh, absolutely. We have years of research that's shown us that Army life experiences are not equal. There are different stages of one's career, like deployments and PCS moves, to consider. There are also significant life events like marriage or having children. Layer on top of that the fact that your geographic location can also impact quality of life. We keep that in mind as we plan our objectives and execute our tasks. For instance, we have an entire line of effort looking at remote and austere locations. We also consider single soldier needs versus family needs, investing both in barracks and family housing, as I mentioned. We also keep a close eye on families that might have special needs, such as families with an exceptional family member, single parent soldiers, and dual military. It's all about balance. We do this the best we can to ensure soldiers and families have a good quality of life.
Yes, it must be a challenging balancing act. Now, moving forward in the coming years, what do you see as the biggest challenge facing the Army in terms of quality of life?
The obvious answer is finite resources. The Army has many competing priorities. Think wartime mission, training, modernization, information technology, and the list goes on. All of these compete for Army resources, money. And as an Army mom, I know having the proper equipment and training is as important to quality of life as MWR, housing, and childcare. It all comes down to balancing those priorities, and it's a daunting task. I must add that Army senior leaders have made people the number one priority. So that shows their commitment to the quality of life portfolio. I also think another challenge we will continue to face is shaping policy to meet the needs of different generations. I know as a younger Army spouse, and I'm going to date myself here, but the first desktop computers were just rolling off the assembly line. The thought of computers being connected or a handheld device was just crazy talk. Today, we have an entire generation of soldiers and families who do not know life without a smartphone and the internet or a tablet. Whereas we would manage our finances and investments with a checkbook, a handwritten budget, and an investment firm, today's soldiers rarely visit a bank. They invest through an app, and they interact largely through social media. Now, let's throw on top of that a pandemic that has changed how we interact with other people and systems, like healthcare and education, consumer behavior. So how we develop programs and services to meet the needs of tomorrow's soldiers must continue to change and adapt.
I agree. I think the pandemic altered the future, and as we've adapted to, especially as we've adapted to working from home. So now let's dig into this a little further. Can you tell me a little bit about what the quality of life initiatives were put into place as a response to COVID-19?
So the commands and installations quickly implemented measures to protect the health of the force and maintain operational readiness, going back to that thought on balance again. And this impacted some quality of life activities in ways that we saw in the commercial sector. A few examples of this creativity and ingenuity, I'll start with the Surgeon General's office, pivoted quickly to stand up an excellent virtual health platform to provide telehealth care to soldiers and families. The virtual encounters have increased by more than 100% from 2020 to 2021. Their COVID information hotline processed almost 5,000 calls related to COVID testing, vaccination, and travel restrictions since March a year ago. Army Childcare was and remains on the front line of the Army's COVID-19 response, providing safe and reliable childcare to essential workers. As of the end of January, with the exception of a few CDCs that closed for renovation or temporary closure for COVID, 100% of open CDCs are supporting mission essential personnel and other priority one families. Additionally, our school liaison officers are working closely with the commands and families and schools in our local communities to share information on school operations and reopening to ensure for smooth transition back to in-person learning when that occurs. On the spouse employment front, we continue to promote the need and efficacy for virtual and portable job opportunities for military spouses. I think important to mention, we will have 4 virtual job fairs in 2021, those in March, June, September, and December. So keep a lookout for those. The Army safely moved soldiers and families to their new duty stations following Center for Disease Control, COVID-19 protocols, including face coverings, cleaning frequently touched surfaces, social distancing, and moving companies are required to conduct health screenings of moving personnel prior to beginning their work. Finally, leadership at installations are hosting virtual town halls to inform soldiers, families, and civilians about how they are responding and supporting efforts to prepare for or prevent the spread of the coronavirus. Social media platforms such as private unit Facebook pages inform internal audience of latest Army and CDC guidance.
Thank you for sharing that. We'll look out for those 4 virtual job fairs that you said are planned this year. And it's also good to know that the leadership at installations have implemented these measures. Dee, before we go, as an accomplished military spouse, would you have any advice for our spouses out there who are considering a career and trying to live their best Army life?
The first thing I would say is to remember you are your own best advocate. While there are challenges with spouse employment and childcare, there are opportunities. First, set some basic goals. What field are you looking at? What career type would you enjoy being a part of? Second is to know your resources and take advantage of them. Your first stop should be the Employment Readiness Program run out of the Army Community Service Center. They're wonderful personnel there to help you with your resume writing, job fairs, networking. I mentioned before the reimbursement for licensure. during a PCS, but there's also a program called the My Career Advancement Account. And these are workforce development scholarships up to $4,000 that can be applied for licensing, certification, associate's degree. They're available to active duty spouses and guard and reserve on Title 10 orders in the grades of E1 through B5, W1 and 2, and O1 and O2. Finally, I really can't overemphasize the importance of networking, making your connections, attend community events, civic meetings, and open houses. It's important for you to stay visible in this space. Never let your status as a military spouse limit your perception of your capability. My final note is, and I feel deeply in my heart, that military spouses are the most capable employees. They balance work and family, and they are the bedrock of military family readiness.
I totally agree with you. You know, don't limit yourself. You have so much capabilities to do so many different things, and limiting yourself is not an option. So the Army is doing tremendous things to improve the quality of life for the soldiers and families. And thank you so much for your time today, Dee. It's always a pleasure to talk with you. So one last thing. Can you please remind our listeners where they can go to learn more about Army Quality of Life Initiative?
Yes, thank you, Zia. It was my pleasure to be here. As a reminder, please check out the Army Quality of Life webpage at army.mil/quality of life.
Well, we've come to the end of our podcast episode, and to all our listeners, thank you for joining us, and to you, Dee, thank you for again being such a wonderful guest.
To all our listeners, thanks for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to the Army Matters podcast on iTunes and everywhere podcasts are found. The Army Matters podcast series is brought to you by the Association of the United States Army, the U.S. Army's Professional Association, member-supported, Army-connected. Visit us at AUSA.org for more information or to become a member. Your membership helps AUSA continue to carry out its mission to educate, inform, and connect with the total Army, our industry partners, and our supporters of a strong national defense. For questions or to provide topic recommendations, email us at podcast@AUSA.org. Have a great Army Day. Hooah!